For our meditation this morning, I want us to look at the portion of scripture we read together, Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" This is the greatest need that any one of us has, to know the touch of Jesus upon and on our lives. We gather here this morning and we gather in his presence, and his word comes into our lives, and in a measure that word touches us. But what we want to know is his presence in power touching our souls, that we, like this woman and many other through scripture, that we might be changed, and that we might be setting out from today in a new dimension and experience of life, following Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. This episode of the healing of this woman is recorded by all three of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And for some of them, it's placed in a very significant order and place of their gospels. It's part of a big picture. For example, in Matthew's gospel, it's chapter 7 and chapter 8 is where it occurs, but chapter 7 and 8, Matthew is setting out something of the authority of Jesus. And if you go through these two chapters very quickly, you'll find that there are different areas where Jesus is establishing his authority, where he is showing that he is powerful and almighty. There's a leper that is healed. The centurion's servant. There he is then on the storm and calming the wind and the waves. Next we see the picture change and there's a man who's possessed of an evil spirit. Come into chapter 9 of Matthew and you find the man with the palsy. And not only is he healed, but then Jesus also says and indicates the forgiveness of sin. And then we come to Jairus' daughter, and eventually to the story that we have of this woman with the problem, issue of blood, bleeding. So many different areas. There's the physical. There's the human. There's the spiritual. Different pictures, different areas of life where Jesus is establishing. He is establishing that he is the Lord of all. He has the power to heal and to cure in so, so many different human situations. And he does it not only in power and authority, but he does it with concern and with interest. The way in which he deals with Jairus' daughter, the way in which he deals with this woman, the way in which he deals with the man who was possessed, we come across time and again the marrying together of the power and the authority of Jesus with the love and the concern and the interest he has to those who are in need. Jesus Christ is not defeated. That must be the lesson. If we take anything from our meditation this morning, Jesus Christ is not defeated by any of the problems that we have to face up to in life. And particularly the emphasis we have in our gospel that Jesus is not defeated by the problem of sin as we experience it and know it. We see here, just to put in one lesson by way of a contrast, We see in our reading here the behavior of the crowds that were round about this herd of swine that were possessed, the man who was possessed, and the legion went out of the man and into the herd, and they were stampeded down into the water, and they were drowned and lost, and the people who owned them came out and saw what happened, and what did they say to Jesus? Go away. Go away. There's a spiritual lesson there for ourselves that sometimes when we are disturbed, sometimes when spiritual and heavenly realities break into our lives, when things of eternity break into our experience, we are disturbed. And the sad thing is that sometimes we can behave like these people. Go away. We want to be left in peace. That's the sad contrast between those who were a crowd and this woman. Here she was in need, and far from going away from Jesus, she wanted to be close and ever closer to him. Let's look at her experiences then briefly this morning. Four or five simple thoughts that sum up her experience and the lessons particularly that she has for us. First of all, we must look at and think of her own condition. We're not sure of the details and exactly what was wrong with her, but what we have clearly before us is the effect all this had on her. We are told that she was ill for a long time. We are told that she had spent all of her resources. We are told that she had tried anything and everything that was going. And all of these things didn't help her one little bit. She had no relief. She was getting worse. And as she was getting worse, she was getting poorer. That's the summary of her condition. She was incurable. Again, going to the different accounts of it in Matthew and especially in Mark, we are told bluntly and plainly that she wasn't getting any better. Her health and her wealth had been touched. And because of what was wrong with her, she was becoming more and more isolated in her society. She was a lonely person. How often she would have hoped and thought that something, the latest prescription or the latest thing that was going around, perhaps she thought that, well, this is going to do it for me now. And every time her hopes were raised, they were cast down even further. High expectations, but were never realized. Great promises, but they were never delivered. She had pain, she had despondency, she had high and her low emotions. And she knew where things were leading her. Her strength was going down day by day. She knew that things were slowly going towards the inevitable end. Try as she couldn't prevent it, and she couldn't avoid it. There we have then a simple picture of her condition. And as we look at her condition like that, we must see the spiritual application of it for ourselves. Because the condition that is set for her describes so perfectly the condition every one of us is in with the disease of sin in our souls. It spoils our whole life. It distorts our life and it takes away from us without giving anything back. It brings us down and down and yet further down. We cannot reverse it. We cannot prevent it. We cannot avoid it. We see the destination it brings us to, and it spoils the whole of our life. Sin is a destructive experience in our lives. Sin spoils and mars everything it touches. That's what she is telling us about her own experience. And as we sit and as we listen to what God is saying to us through this woman, we know that just simply looking at our lives ever so briefly, we can see the way in which the reality of what she is saying comes home to ourselves. Yes, we can sit beside her and we can put out amen to what she's going through, what she has felt, what she has tried. People, she's wasted her whole life and all of her resources trying to avoid the misery of this disease. And people, do they not do the same today? People will spend their whole life and all their resources trying to get away from the guilt of a sin, or the weight on their conscience, or something that they've done in the past. But it's always there to confront them. The brick wall, and we keep on hitting against it day after day, and we cannot get past it. The condition then that she is in, and the way in which it tells us about ourselves. But if that was her condition, what did she do about it? What action did she take? And we move on to see and to look at the confidence about her and what she did. There was a whole crowd round about Jesus, pushing him, following him, and there was a whole melee of people that were just listening and going wherever Jesus went and wanting to hear what he had to say. And here is this woman, only one in this crowd, and bear in mind that she's weak at the best. And what does she do? She's convicted, she's convinced utterly that the only person that can help her is Jesus. There were many reasons perhaps why she would hold back. There are many reasons perhaps why she might have held back. Well, I'm only an old woman. I've had this disease for 12 years. I'm not really that important. Or, here is the Lord Jesus Christ and he's going on a mission and he's going to help a young one. He's going to help Jairus' daughter. And here is youth against old age. No, I just better be quiet and keep out. Or again, I've tried so many different medicines. I've tried so many different things. Is Jesus going to be any different? Now there's a gospel message for every one of us. We've tried so many things perhaps in our lives, and we've tried them and they've always disappointed us. And maybe the devil will say to us when we listen to the gospel, well, is Jesus going to make any difference to you? And all that you have to do is look at the experience of this woman for your answer. Yes, Jesus makes all the difference, not only in the world, but Jesus makes all the difference for eternity.
She had that confidence. And she pushed through. She pushed through all the crowd that were round about her. Like ourselves, there are so many things that come into our lives, so many obstacles. There are so many things that crowd us, that dominate us. We've got to do this, that, and the other. We've got to go here, and we've got a list of so many things. And they're all obstacles in our thinking. They're all there diverting us and turning us away from thinking about Jesus or the gospel. And we've got to behave like this woman. Push through all these obstacles. Push through the crowd. Because we have this conviction and confidence that my problem is so bad, there is only one person that can help me and heal me. And that one person is Jesus. And that Jesus is preached today. Yes, the crucified Savior, but the risen and almighty Savior. And we can take again the pictures that we painted at the beginning of the power that he had to help so many others who were ill and in need. And we know our need ourselves now. And we can come to the same Savior with a confidence as he helped others. So, he can help me. And what happened when she pushed through that crowd? Surely we can see the change that came about her immediately. It came in an instance. Something that she had been looking for 12 years. Now she had it. What she had spent all of her resources trying to get but didn't get. What she went chasing for here, there and everywhere. She now experienced it. She was healed. And she knew it. She knew the change in herself. Everything had taken on a new dimension and a new direction. There was something fresh and there was something strong and there was something new in her that had not been there before. She indeed was different because she had been changed. And whenever we touch the Lord Jesus Christ and whenever we know his power coming into our lives, again, the gospel application comes so perfectly to us. We can be weary. We can be weary with the weight on our conscience. We can be looking for relief and enjoyment in life. And we can spend our days, our years even, just looking for that very thing. And we fail on every turn. But at last we hear about Jesus Christ. And we come and we listen to the gospel message. And the gospel tells us the story that we've known for so long of the Savior who is able to heal the sinner with a heavy conscience. The way in which Jesus is able to give us a new life and the experience is like a new birth. And we find in Jesus that which we've been looking for or missing out on, at least, for all of these years of our life. Our heaviness is turned to joy. We know something different in our lives now. Something new. Because we have a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Changed forever. That's what she knew. That is what she had. That is what we need ourselves, to be changed forever. Ministers can speak and preach, books can be written, texts and tracts can be given out. We all know what is required of us. And there is no one that can do it for us. No stand-in and no substitute can take your place. It comes down to a one-to-one dealings with God. It comes down to the loneliness and that isolation. As God meets with us and speaks with us here this morning, and he tells us things about our soul that we need to know. And he's pointing us to the one source of relief and the one source of life. Faith and trust in himself. Repentance and faith. The two key themes that we find in our gospel that we need to know in our lives. She was changed, and so must we. From living the old life in darkness to the new life in the light and at peace, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't end the story for us. Because we find that as soon as she was changed and healed, Jesus did something very, very strange indeed. It's as if he stopped the whole of the parade. And he looked round about and he said these words that form our text in verse 45, "Who touched me?" And he says it not once, but he says it twice. "Who touched me?" He wasn't going to allow this woman to melt away into the background. He wasn't going to allow this opportunity to be passed by without hearing what she had experienced. He asked the question, not because he was ignorant himself, but he asked the question to challenge this woman herself. And she was afraid because she knew what she had been through. And she knew the question was for herself. And she was trembling. But she was challenged to acknowledge Jesus as the one who had saved her and redeemed her. This was her public testimony. This was her giving thanks. This was her openly acknowledging and confessing that Jesus Christ is her Lord. You can understand Peter coming in here. And again, Peter speaking totally out of turn. He turns to Jesus and he says, "What do you mean, touched you? Look at the crowd round about you. They're all touching you." Peter didn't understand what had happened. Peter didn't see what had happened to this woman. It was a one-to-one relationship between Jesus and that woman, and Peter was a stranger to that transaction. He didn't understand. And there are times just like that today. There are times when the Lord is dealing with you. And the way things are happening for you, people round about you don't understand. They don't understand what God is doing or saying to your soul. And it's difficult for them to look at you. It's difficult for them to understand you. But they should. The challenge. And why did he challenge her like this? Well, certainly, as we've said, he challenged her for her own sake. Because he wanted her to speak up. He wanted to hear what she had to say. But also he wanted her to see his concern. He wanted her to see his tenderness. She was whole, she was healed, she was physically together again. And there was to be that face-to-face meeting, not just simply touching the hem of the garment, but coming round face-to-face to see each other. But there was also the encouragement, not only to her, but there was to be the encouragement for Jairus himself, because there was a delay here in dealing with this woman. And just as it came to the end of all of the experience of this woman, a runner arrived. Somebody came from the house of Jairus and says, "She's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. It's beyond things now." And do we not have again this image that we've been setting up time and again? The Lord is establishing himself as Lord over all of these situations. Situations that we might count to be black and dark and dismal. This Jairus man, he was apprehensive. You could almost see him tugging at the crowd to come quickly back to his house. And can you imagine what he felt when they stopped to deal with this woman with the issue of blood? The way in which his emotions would have been boiling up, and he would have been wanting to take them back always to his house. And then the final straw came. The messenger arrived and said, "She's dead." What a blow that must have been to this father. But the dealing with this woman that stopped them in their tracks, the dealing with this woman was a source of encouragement to Jairus. Because here is a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she was healed by the touch of Jesus. And it's not to be lost on us that the daughter of Jairus was 12 years of age as well. And so there would have been the encouragement, well, if he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to do that for this old woman, perhaps the Lord can do something for my young girl. Even although the situation is beyond the help of any human resource. The challenge, but the comfort that it brought. And then the last thing I want us to think about is the confession that this woman made. She was trembling as she spoke. You can almost imagine the little circle opening up in the middle of the crowd. You can almost imagine just in the midst of that circle there would be Jesus and this woman. And she had gratitude. She also needed courage. Because it wasn't easy for her to speak, but she told the whole story. And she emphasized the fullness of what she had experienced. It was still fresh in her. You could almost look at her face and see the shining out of the joy that she had. Here is a woman who for 12 years was underneath a cloud, sad. And now she is free and whole and healed. And it's just happened to her. And everything would have been bubbling up inside her soul. She could not avoid showing the joy and the involvement and her interest in Jesus. The confession that she made. But notice the way in which Jesus speaks back to her. "Daughter, be of good comfort. thy faith hath made thee whole. Here is Jesus focusing on that grasp of faith. Not so much the touch on the hem of the garment. That was something physical. But it was something physical that spoke about something spiritual. There was in this woman the exercise of faith and trust and reliance. We mentioned it as confidence. She believed. And that's the important thing. She believed that Jesus could heal her and help her. That's the essential requirement in her life. And that's the essential factor in ours. We cannot heal ourselves. We cannot put our house in order. We cannot make good the things that are wrong. We're told in the gospel that there is only one person that can do that, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're called to put our faith and our trust in Him. We are called to trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, that He would be our Savior and our Redeemer, that He would be our substitute, that we would trust in Him, not to be ashamed. This woman, perhaps she would have hid in the background and in the crowd except for what Jesus had done. Not to be ashamed to confess Christ before men, and to tell men and to tell others what Jesus means and what Jesus has done for us, just as she told the story for those that were round about her. The Lord indeed has done great things for us, things that make us glad and fill us with joy. We need to tell and share with others that same story, the greatest story ever told. It's not the strength. It's not the strength of our faith that matters. You may be sitting, you may be listening, you may be talking with yourself. And you say, well, there are a lot of doubts and there's a lot of fears mixed in with my faith. Well, so there was with this woman also. But what's important is that faith is there at all. It might be frail and it might be weak, but it's that faith that reaches out and trusts in a strong Savior. A simple reliance, a confident trusting, a leaning upon Jesus, and a leaning upon Him with this simple conviction, He can save my soul. That's what we need, every one of us, to lean upon Jesus and to know Him for ourselves. And so we come to the close this morning. And let me do so by simply asking this question. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And He asks it twice, the beginning and the end of the verse. So at the end of the sermon, we ask the question, have we known the touch of Jesus in our soul, in this, our sermon? Do we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior? Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God and Lord, we bless Thy name for the spiritual message thou dost give to us in Jesus Christ thy Son. We bless thy name for the way in which thou dost speak to us and meet with us. And we ask, O Lord our God, that thy word might come into our lives like never before and speak to us of our need and of Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Deal with us in thy grace and pardon us our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing from Psalm 30. Psalm 30 at the beginning. And again, as we think again of that woman in our meditation, we may sing these words, reflecting what she was going through. Lord, I will thee extol, for thou hast lifted me on high. And over me thou to rejoice madest not mine enemy. O thou who art the Lord my God, I in distress to thee with loud cries lifted up my voice, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, my soul thou hast brought up and rescued from the grave, that I to pit should not go down, alive thou didst me save. O ye that are his holy ones, sing praise unto the Lord, and give unto him thanks when ye his holiness record.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.